Lord, help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 764. 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn 764. Holy Word of God, we'll read together the book Genesis chapter 12 and part of chapter 13. So Genesis chapter 12, and then we'll read in chapter 13 from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. So Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord
plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Now we'll read from verse 11 of chapter 13. And Abraham and Lot have separated. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And may God bless that reading from his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God of heaven and of earth, we do thank thee, gracious God, for granting to us this opportunity to gather once again in this house of prayer. Lord, we thank thee for the privilege of worship. Lord, we thank thee that we have been enabled to meet together here. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy holy word before us. Lord, we thank thee for the many blessings that surround us in our circumstances as we gather in peace and in safety. Lord, we do pray that we each may not take these things for granted. Lord, that we may truly esteem it the privilege it is. Lord, that we may ever be mindful of thy goodness and thy mercy. And Lord, we do pray that we may truly value the time of worship. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt make it to us each the important time of the week that it is. Lord, that it it may prove to be for us each the best day. May it be this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we thank thee for this returning day of rest. And Lord, we do pray that we may, by faith, know what it is to enter into that rest, that we may enter by faith and rest in that finished work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, that we may be brought to truly trust and believe in the eternal Son of God, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that in our worship this day, that Christ might be revealed and made precious, both in the wanting of him and in the finding of him. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt discover thyself to us and reveal thyself, that we may see thee in all thy wondrous suitability to meet the deepest need of hell-deserving sinners. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt reveal ourselves to ourselves. Lord, that we may not go through life without that knowledge of what we are by nature. Lord, that thou wilt reveal something of our sinnership to us. Lord, that we may see the desperate state we're in by nature, our fallen, lost condition. Lord, we pray that in revealing this, that thou wilt go on to be gracious and reveal the person and work of thy dear Son, that friend of sinners, the only hope for poor, needy sinners, and that we might see that full forgiveness, that putting away of sin, that bringing in of an everlasting righteousness, that glorious finished work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died at Calvary. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may by faith, Lord, go on to view an empty tomb and know those sweet persuasions of a risen, now exalted Saviour sitting at the Father's right hand. And Lord, as we come and we are caused and brought to call upon thy great and holy name, Lord, as we are given that access in thy goodness and mercy to the throne of thy grace, and as we come pressed with our needs, whatever they may be, Lord, that we may prove thee in the answers, Lord, that thou art pleased to give to our poor prayers offered in Jesus' precious name, that we may find that name all-prevailing. Lord, that we may prove that the Saviour lives no more to die. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt make thyself that living, bright reality. Lord, that we may be brought to truly trust in thee. And so, Lord, remember each who have gathered here this day. And Lord, remember those who may listen in Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember those unable to be here. And Lord, we ask that thy presence, thy blessing might be with them as we seek it for us here. Lord, we ask that thou wilt help us, that thou wilt keep Satan from us. Lord, that our thoughts may be kept clear of his temptations. Lord, that he may be kept from meddling with our thoughts. Lord, that we may be enabled to leave the many busy things of the past week and the thoughts of the coming week. And Lord, that we may know that lifting, that drawing above the dying things of this world. Lord, that thou wilt draw us and we will run after thee. But Lord, it comes personally. And Lord, may each heart have that prayer. Draw me. Draw me. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wilt help us and overcome, Lord, our sinful inclinations. And, Lord, cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us this day. And, Lord, that thou wilt continue, Lord, where thou hast already begun. And, Lord, that thou wilt stir up any that are in a lukewarm state, and that, Lord, there might be that reviving of thy work in the hearts of those, Lord, who have come into a period of darkness. If there be any, Lord, we pray that thy light might shine again. Lord, that thou wilt revive and stir up and grant, Lord, that desire, that hungering, that thirsting. Lord, we pray for thy Spirit's work. We pray thy Holy Spirit's outpouring here this day. We pray thy power upon thy own word, that it may be life, light and liberty to us. Lord, that we may leave different to how we came, that there may be those things sealed into our hearts by the power of thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest every case. Thou knowest every state and condition before thee. Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of, and we pray that thy word, by thy divine power, may be made suitable to each case, that thou wilt, Lord, fit it and seal it, and witness in the heart, Lord, we pray, and grant that all the glory might be to thy holy name. Lord, remember the afflicted. Remember those in difficulty or trouble. Lord, we pray for our friend David Parrish in the nursing home. And Lord, we do pray that thy presence and thy blessing might be with him. Lord, we do ask that thou wilt comfort his heart and draw near and make thyself exceeding precious to him. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt uphold and support and comfort each of his family and the friends here at Swavesey. And Lord, we ask that these things might be used, Lord, and applied as only thou canst do, for the good of never dying souls. Lord, we ask that the various things that we each pass through might prove to be in those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to thy purpose. Oh, may there prove to be a divine purpose in all these things. Lord, we have much to learn. Lord, we need thy gracious teaching and leading. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be led and taught by thy Spirit. Lord, there are many influences in the world, many influences around us each. But oh, we pray that thy divine influence may be in us and upon us, that thou would order all our footsteps, that thou would hedge about our ways, that thou would keep us from falling. Lord, that thou would lead us in that right path, that right door might be opened and the wrong door shut, that thou would guide us with thy counsel and afterward receive us to glory. Oh, we would say with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but thee? Oh, Lord, we do pray that our whole desire might be toward thy great and holy name. And so we seek that thou separate us from our idols. And grant, Lord, that there might be that laying aside of every weight. Lord, make us willing in the day of thy power. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt keep us from wrong choices, making those wrong decisions. Lord, may our motives be ever checked by thee according to thy holy word. And grant, Lord, that we might have the mind of Christ given. Oh, that we might, Lord, be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. And that, Lord, that we may not desire to feed our flesh. Oh, but Lord, make us willing to suffer all things for Christ's sake. Lord, that we might be true followers of the Lamb, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Lord, then reveal thyself. Do take us by the hand. Do lead us in that right way. And grant us, Lord, again and again, that we may hear thy voice, that we may know that we are walking in thy steps. For Lord, we sing in that hymn, the way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wilt confirm us in our pathways. And Lord, if we are walking contrary to thy will or thy way, oh, may we hear that voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, that we might turn about and follow after thee. And so, Lord, remember us in all our need. Lord, we are poor and needy sinners. Lord, look upon us in thy compassion. And Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. And do remember the children, the young people. Do guide them and direct them in their choices. Lord, put thy hand upon them, we pray, to keep them in all the untrodden steps of their lives. Lord, may they not be left to their own will or wisdom. May they not be left to make those choices which they will later regret. Lord, we do pray that thou guide them and direct them. and incline their hearts. And Lord, do draw them after thee. Remember parents and help them in bringing up their children. Help them, Lord, to live their lives rightly before their children. And help us each in our dealings day by day, as we mingle with the world, as we have our dealings with those around us. Lord, that we might let our lights shine. Help us, Lord, to honour thee. Help us, Lord, to witness in this day and generation. Oh, do grant us that boldness that comes in believing and trusting and hoping in thee. Lord, remember us. We are fearful. Lord, we have our old natures. We have the weakness, Lord, that we find. Yet thou art able to strengthen, and thou art able to give grace and more grace. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant all that we need. And so, Lord, remember us with the favours that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. And forgive us, Lord, our many sins and failings, and those missed opportunities, those things that we should have done which we haven't, sins of omission and sins of commission. Lord, wash us in the Redeemer's precious blood, and take all our sins away. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, with the pardon of anything that may be amiss in our worship. Lord, where we have failed in our asking, do make up in giving, as we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands the sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. Hymn 765.
Thank you.
you turn with me to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 12. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the opening part of verse 4. Genesis chapter 12, and the opening part of verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Genesis chapter 12, the opening part of verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. The verse goes on to read, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And here we read of the Lord calling Abram. And our opening verse said, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. The Lord had called him. And Abram had begun. He had left Ur of the Chaldees. He left with his father Terah. And they had journeyed. And they had come to this place, Haran. And in the previous chapter, we are told that Terah died in Haran. Abram's father died. And now the Lord again reaffirms his calling of Abram. Get thee out of thy country. He had not yet travelled to that place where the Lord would be pleased to give it to him and to his seed. And so he must leave Haran. And we read of him and Lot travelling, leaving Haran and going forth. And our text this morning says, so Abram departed. And there's a lot of instruction in these few words for you and I this morning. There is obedience of Abram. That willingness to obey and to walk in the way that the Lord would have him go. And it is a remarkable thing. When you think of the day and generation that Abraham was living, and all that was unknown before him, and all the uncertainty, and yet Abraham must leave his native land, and no doubt come out from among those who were in that land of idolatry, and to journey to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it thee. And you can think of this in a natural sense and in a spiritual sense. And that obeying of the Lord's command and obeying the call of the Lord, whether it might be in your life and mine, in our personal circumstances, or, and more importantly, in that calling, in that calling by his grace, in that leaving of our native land, in that lost, fallen state, in the unconcern, in the deadness of sin that we are born in. And that calling out, and that coming up and out and away from those things, and a leaving them behind, and a going forth into those new things, walking according to the command of the Lord. And again we read of it. Abraham, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord. You know, Abraham was a man in whose heart the Lord was working. And a desire was given him by God to worship God. And you know, there's much in this for you and I. And our desires, and are they according to the pattern of Abraham, the father of the faithful? A pattern of humble obedience. A pattern of humble submission to the will of God. A humble resignation and offering up of our lives as a sacrifice. A crucifying of the flesh as according to the will of God. And a desire to worship him, to honour him, that his name might be magnified. Well, God gave Abraham the precious gift of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, what a need there is of that precious gift of living faith. Friends, that faith given by God, we have it here before us in those verses that we read together. That the faith given, faith in exercise, faith tried. We have two trials of faith in the chapter we read. We have the trial of Abraham's faith as he must bury his father and go onward into the land of Canaan. And that great trial of faith it was to him to venture, resting entirely upon what the Lord had said. And then we have that trying of his faith when he comes into a time of difficulty and there's famine in the land. We find Abraham going down to Egypt to seek help there. Well, there's much in it. And that second trial of faith is not laid on my heart to dwell on, particularly this morning. But you know, there was a solemn testing of his faith, wasn't there? And how we find that in the face of the fear of man, Abraham had come up with that scheme with Sarah, that he might preserve his life as he thought. Oh, may the Lord apply his word to us each. But Abraham heard the call of God. Get thee out. Get thee out. You know, it was much easier for him to stay. Oh, familiar with the things that he was brought up with. But not according to the will of God. Get thee out. Oh, he must come up out of the of the Chaldees. He must come up. And Haran, though it was a time of arresting in the way, yet it wasn't where he must settle. He must not abide in Haran. The Lord would would in his divine purposes take away a prop from Abraham's life. There must be that separation from his father through the death of his father. And we continue to read into the 13th chapter. And Lot is separated from him. And you know, dear friends, you too will find it. If the Lord is leading you and teaching you, he'll have you rest on him entirely. He'll bring you to trust in him completely. He'll have the whole of your heart and not half. And he will bring you to truly rest upon him. And do not be surprised if in the ordering of things God is pleased to remove a prop here and there in your life. And may God give you the grace and me to accept those things and to fall into the hand of a living God. We are told that all things work together for good. And it was for the good. It was for the good of Abraham's soul. It was for the honour and glory of God. It was for the good of the Lord's dear children. And oh, how often we have to prove that the end of the thing is better than the beginning. And we cannot see the end of the thing when we are at the beginning of things. And we cannot see how at times these things will be for our good, and we cannot see at times that there can be any good in these things. Yet we prove when the Lord is working, when the Lord is leading and teaching, his way is perfect. Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You know, there's three things, three I wills that God gave to Abraham. He said, I will show thee. I will show thee. I will show thee. Oh, what need we have, haven't we? The Lord to show us. Show us the right way. Show us that good and right way. That acceptable way. Show us what is not good and right and acceptable. Show us the many hindrances that there might be. Show us the need that we have of his goodness and mercy. Show us and direct us and guide us in the way which we should go. I will show thee. He wasn't to make it his own way. He wasn't to make it a way of his own choosing. Abraham was to go as led by his God and rest by faith in this I will. I will show thee. Oh, there might not be that revealing of it all at the beginning. Oh, there might be a prospect revealed at the beginning of something at the end. But how to get from the beginning to the end is hidden. And how often that is the case in the life of a believer. The Lord gives them a precious glimpse of heaven at last, a prospect, a good hope through grace. But oh, how in the next 40, 50, however many years it might be, they are to get and to reach and to endure and to continue. The Lord is pleased to withhold and therefore have them walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, a prospect of eternal life is granted. A good hope through grace is given. But how to reach that promised land? And what will be in the meantime? The Lord is pleased to withhold. It's wisely hidden, so that that child of God might learn of him to walk day by day, hour by hour, leaning on him, leaning on all-sufficient grace, trusting that he will show them and unfold his purposes. And there is that unfolding, step by step, that our eyes may ever be on him. If the Lord has promised, I will show thee, can we afford to take our eyes off of him? And I speak carefully. Can we afford to not continually seek his will and way in things? Can we afford to let those prayers drop from our thoughts, that we need his continual guiding? Oh, is there not that pressing need to see him? I will show thee. When it's needed to be seen, when we are to know the Lord is pleased to reveal it. You know, when the children of Israel journeyed up out of Egypt, they had the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. And they were ever to have their eyes on it. The Lord didn't tell them when the pillar stopped, how long it would be. They were to pitch their tents. Was it a day? Was it a week? Was it a month? The Lord didn't tell them. He'd ever have their eyes upon that pillar of cloud and fire, and have them ever ready. This is the point. That they might not put down, as it were, those foundations in the wilderness and become settled, but they might ever be ready to move. When the pillar moved, they must be ready to move, and when it rested, they must rest. I will show thee. I will show thee. Oh, what errors and what mistakes are made when we look away, when we begin to think that we know what the Lord is doing. Oh, how easily we can make our own connections and interpretations of things and think that we know something of the mind of the Lord. And yet, do we? Oh, that the Lord would give us enough understanding of our own wisdom. Oh, that we might not trust in ourselves, to think anything of ourselves above what we should, but rather keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. And there our hopes to stay. Can the sheep afford to take their eyes off the Good Shepherd? He who has promised, I will guide thee with my counsel. Oh, can we afford to listen to anyone else but him? But you see, we prove the something of the fallen condition of our old nature. And we find our own thoughts being mingled with his. Oh, we think at times we know best. But his way is best. I will show thee. And then in verse 2 he says, and I will make of thee. The Lord had a purpose for Abraham, as he has for every child of God. Well, it isn't the same for each in what the Lord will have them to do, in the way that he will have them serve. And yet there is, in the witnessing of every believer, there are those things that the Lord will have them to do. I will make. He goes on to say, I will make thy name, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will make thee a blessing, and thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. He had those I wills, I will make, I will show, I will make, I will bless. Three precious things. The Lord was to make Abraham a blessing. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. Abraham has a precious shall as well as the wills. Thou shalt be a blessing. How could Abraham, and how can you, and how can I, be made a blessing? Well, it's in the witness, isn't it? And how is it the Lord to use his children? They're to honour and to glorify his great and holy name. In a gospel day, the church of God is to be lights shining in this dark world. The word of God tells us, God himself says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. I will show thee, and I will make thee, and I will bless thee. Solemn responsibility upon every one of the living family of God. Do we desire that? Do we pray for the Lord's help? Do we understand the responsibility that is placed upon the Church of God, to that witness A witness that honours and glorifies God. A witness that magnifies his great and holy name. A witness that endears the Saviour of sinners to sinners. A witness that testifies of the Lord's grace and mercy and power. Abraham departed, and he went not knowing whither he would go. And he went, and he had before him, hidden before him, trials and deliverances. He had before him sorrows and joys. And yet he had the promise of God. He had the word of God. He had the command of God to him, the calling of his God, and the assurance of the Lord's presence. And friends, what a mercy if you and I are brought into some sweet assurance of those blessings and promises in the Word of God. When you think of what the Lord said to Abraham, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Oh, how you might shrink and I might shrink from that. Thou shalt be a blessing. And how could we ever be made a blessing? How could our witness be ever a witness that honours God and glorifies his great and holy name, when we're conscious of something of our own wretchedness and sinfulness and unworthiness? How can we go forward? How can we take up our cross? How could we put on an open profession? How could we live before this dying world of sin, in a body of sin, and ever think that we might do anything that honours and glorifies our God, when we feel ourselves at times to be so unable, so insufficient? But you see, that when God gives the command, and when God gives a command to a poor, unworthy sinner, he gives all that is needed. He gives all that is required to enable that one to fulfill what he has put upon them. Oh, they may have some burdens placed upon them, but they will prove, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. They will prove that underneath are the everlasting arms. Yes, there may be the burden to shoulder, but the all-supporting arms of an almighty God are spread beneath. The person and work of Jesus Christ, his presence, the outpouring of the Spirit of God, the quickening and enabling and enlivening that is needed is given. And so the unable is made able by the power of God to witness the glory and the divine power of God. How that he is able to make the weak strong. And how he is able to give that which is needed. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Abraham
If he's anything like you and I would no doubt want it all before he ups and leaves. But that is not the way that God works. It's grace sufficient and strength sufficient for each day. Oh, they're not always a stock in hand that you and I would want. But daily supply, a daily rate, that provision of the King of Kings, a daily rate given, that which is needful, that which is required. God knows we have nothing of ourselves. God knows the lack of grace and wisdom and strength. He knows the heart of his children better than they know. And when he puts forth his sheep, he both goes before them and he goes with them. He takes them by the right hand and he leads them in that right way. He says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. It is to be that wall of fire round about, a sovereign protector, one in whom Abraham could put his whole trust, his whole dependence upon his living God. He could cast his lot upon his God and walk by faith, trusting in his God, whose word cannot fail. His word cannot fail. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And yes, Abraham was to learn, and he was to have revealed to himself something of himself, as every child of God must. And Abraham, he wasn't sent because Abraham himself had everything that the Lord would require of him. But God chose him and would equip him and would give him all that he needed. And yes, he would teach him. And yes, he would show him things that he didn't know before. And there would be things that would arise in his life that would try his faith. But he would prove. He would prove the unchanging faithfulness of his God. I will be with thee. We had then, in that 13th chapter, Lot is separated from Abraham. And so Abraham, in that natural sense, is now on his own. His father and now his nephew are separated from him. And we're told the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes now, and look from the place where thou art. And he brings him to see that the land that is before him. And he says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Oh, the Lord was pleased to again and again reaffirm to him those promises that he had given. And what a merciful and faithful and loving Heavenly Father who does not just give a promise, and I say it like not lightly, but doesn't just give a promise and then leave it, but again and again, as is required, the Lord is pleased to reaffirm, to confirm his children in the way. And he says, arise, walk through the land. Oh, that you and I might be brought into those sweet seasons. Oh, that the Lord would give us the precious promises and make them known to us. That he would give us this sweet and precious place of walking, arising and walking through and in and about the precious promises of God that are made known. Oh, that we might have that gospel liberty. You and I in a gospel day, to be brought to a sweet hope in the Lord Jesus, to enter into that precious rest of faith in that finished work of Jesus, that we might have that grace and faith to lay aside our own hope because of our own works and rest entirely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. There's a great breadth and depth and length and height that we might expand in that greatness and glory of God as it's revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, and enter into that liberty and that freedom which Jesus has purchased with his own precious blood. Oh, how Satan would have us confined, constrained. He'd wrap us up. He'd bring us into bondage. But oh, that the Lord might bring us through those sweet revealings of his face, through the precious word as it's applied, through our own personal experience, as we're brought to pray and to walk in the fear of the Lord day by day, that we might be brought to know that, oh, that liberty. Arise, walk through the land, that which the God has promised. Walk in those precious promises God has said. Enter into and walk about the shalls and wills that God has said in the liberty of his children, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. I will give it. Yes, you say, unworthy, sinful, undeserving, I will give it unto thee. Because God is good. Because his mercy knows no end. Oh, because his sovereign love and free choice of his poor, unworthy people, he freely gives, not because they merit, deserve it or earn it, but because he would, because he could. He called Abraham, he called him out, and he brought him along, and he brought him to that promised place, Canaan. And oh, how he kept him and upheld him. You know, yes, there were, as there is in every experience of a child of God, there's a little of their own self made known, There are those failings, and yes, there are those sins along the way. But they prove the Lord's long-suffering, his patience, his forbearance. Oh, they prove his everlasting love, his everlasting mercy. My mind, in coming to a close, goes to Isaiah 45. And those words in verse 2, I will, another I will. But friends, the word of God is full of them. And they're all to the living family of God. Oh, may we prove each one of them. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Thy God. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Sunday, God willing, Sunday school will be in the vestry this afternoon with an address by Mr. Parrish. And on Friday evening, Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach. And on Saturday afternoon, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 4 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Bernard Burgess is hoping to come and preach. And there's a reminder to order your magazines for next year as quickly as possible, please. And fire safety and first aid, there's a meeting of the volunteer helpers after the service on Friday evening. Let us now close with hymn 949. 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. Hymn 949.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.